You are perfect in all of your ways. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I love the part that says, and I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. It doesn't matter who loved me before. It doesn't matter who accepted me or didn't accept me before. I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. Bless your holy name. Good Father.
Yes, He is.
You guys can remain standing for just a few more minutes. today we're going to be looking at our Heavenly Father. It is Father's Day. And, good morning, church. Let me say that first of all. Happy Father's Day to all of the earthly fathers. We honor you today. And it is my prayer that each and every one of you will be made to feel loved and appreciated because you deserve it. I especially want to thank and honor my husband, who's not here today, but I still would like to honor and thank my husband, who stepped in to a ready-made family and became the father to my two boys. That's God. That's God. That's God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your dear love. We love you and appreciate you. Today we're going to be talking about our Heavenly Father, and we're going to be looking at the parable of the prodigal son. But I want you to just stand up just for a second, because I want you to bow your heads with me as I pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to see this day, to experience and to enjoy this Father's Day 2023. Lord, we don't know who's going to be here in 2024, but we're here to enjoy this Father's Day 2023. Father, I ask you to empower me now to be able to give this message under your anointing, that you may receive glory, honor, and praise due your holy name. Father, I pray, we need your word. We need your word, Father. Your word says that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. Open the eyes, Lord, of our spiritually blinded. Soften stony hearts. And above all, Father, send your word. We need a touch from you. We need healing. We need deliverance. We need to increase our faith. I ask all of these things in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. God bless you all. So, you know, Cece has a song, too, that I love as well. And, and she talks about the goodness of the Lord. And I think I had pulled up the lyrics, if I can just read a few lines of it. It says, in the first verse, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been good. You have been so, so good. Amen. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. That's my testimony today. Yes. With every breath, I will sing of the goodness of God. So we thank you, Father. God has given me a word, I believe, for, like Pastor mentioned this morning, the word always is to the messenger first. And so I feel like I'm going to be preaching to myself today. So don't take anything personal. This message is for me, and I pray that it blesses you as well. So again, we're going to be talking about the prodigal son, and that's a very familiar passage. I believe everyone knows that story. And we know that Jesus used that method of communication, parables, especially when he was speaking to the crowds. Now, a parable, basically, that's an earthly story with a heavenly message behind it. The word prodigal comes to us from a Latin word, prodigus, which means rich. I'm not pronouncing it correctly, which means rich, extravagant, or lavish. In the English, the one who is a prodigal son throws money around carelessly and without restraint. So the son in Luke chapter 15 is understandably known as the prodigal son. Okay, so Jesus was a master at telling stories, and as you would expect, if anyone can reach his creation, of course it's Christ. Yet, as we spoke about in one of our Bible studies, Pastor Warren can attest to, we talked about, but the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. So a lot of times when he was speaking to them in parables, even the disciples didn't get what he was saying. It just went whoop, right over their head.
Right.
And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that. In Matthew 16, verse 6 through 12, Jesus makes a statement to them. And he says, "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Verse 7. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Who's talking about bread? Anyway, verse 8. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with five loaves and the baskets that were left over you picked up?" Verse 10, "Or the 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets that was left over you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast and the bread, but he was speaking about the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Another parable that seemed to baffle the disciples was the parable of the sower. When Jesus had finished the parable of the sower to his disciples in Matthew 13:9, he said in verse 9, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." And I was thinking about that statement, and I think so many times, especially in church, I remember growing up in church. I remember bringing children to church. I remember seeing adults in church, and they really, really weren't listening. They're just there. And, you know, if something was caught, it was caught. But it wasn't like they were listening for understanding. They just happened to hear this and that. And sometimes it wasn't enough to give them a clear understanding of what is being taught or what was being said. So the parable of the sower, Jesus asked the obvious questions. Disciples asked the obvious questions. "Why do you use parables to talk to the people?" And Jesus answered the question, but it's quite revealing how he answered in verse 11, Matthew 13, verse 11. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge.
All right.
But for those who are not listening, those that fall asleep in church, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand."
Yeah.
So many Christians, again, are familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. It's a parable that focuses on the son who renounces his father's, asks for his inheritance, and after he has squandered it all away, eventually he returns and repents of his wrongdoing. But when I read and meditate on this parable, I'm struck by the good, good Father, the merciful Father, the loving Father. We normally focus on the younger son, who seemed to be so ungrateful, selfish, irresponsible, just to name a few of his flaws. Or we focus on the other brother, who was none of these things, but he was jealous, he was resentful, and unloving toward his younger brother. Again, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning behind it. And with that being said, the younger son who abandoned his father and family to squander his inheritance, and the older son who never left but was full of anger and resentment, represents us in our sinful, unrepentant state. The father, of course, represents our heavenly father. Let's look at the parable, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. Sorry, my words are not popping out like they're supposed to. They're popping? Okay. Let's keep it popping. Verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of my estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, I have sinned against both heaven and you." And that's a key point. When we sin, we're not only sinning against that person, we're sinning against God. So he says, "I've sinned against heaven and you." Verse 19, "And I am no longer worthy of being called your son." And that's how we feel a lot of the times before we come to the Lord. We're not worthy. We've done too much. You don't know what I've done. "Please take me in as a hired servant." And these are the two verses we're going to focus on today, verse 20 and verse 21. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Verse 21, his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father said to the servant, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son in the field working, when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, "What's going on?" "Your brother is back," he told him, "and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because he is safe. Because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years, I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. In all that time, you never gave me one young goat for a feast. You never gave me one young goat." I lost my place. Where am I? Okay, for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering his money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened cow." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." Verse 32. "We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So again, we're just going to be focusing on those two verses. So in verse 20, to me, it's a beautiful picture of a lost soul who has a repentant heart and desires to be united again with his heavenly Father. And again, I'm speaking from the heavenly version of what this parable is saying. So I wanted to talk to you about a few things. Let's just break it down a little bit. I want to look at a few things here. While he was still a long way off, his heavenly Father saw him.
Yes.
In order to see an object a long way off, you have to already be searching for it. You have to be expecting it, anticipating it to return. And just as a note here, because that's not in my notes, but if that's what it is with our prayers. We have to be expecting. We have to be searching for it. And we have to be anticipating that God will do what he says he'll do. And that's a key element of standing in faith when we're believing God and praying. And then I wrote in my notes here, or if a family member you're praying for, hoping for, and believing for, again, you have to keep that same position. There is just so much here. I just need to break and park right here for a minute. What lessons do we learn from this parable about how we should respond to our lost loved ones? Continue to pray for them and believe God for their salvation? Yes. Number one, never give up on them.
Right.
Because we don't know how long that son was gone. It could have been a few weeks, a few months, a few years. Could have been 20 years. We don't know. But the point is, the father never gave up on him. If he had, then he wouldn't have been looking for him. He would have just said, you know, it is what it is, and I'm just going to go on with my life, and that's that. He just went to live his own life. But no, the father never stopped thinking about him, anticipating his return, searching for him, and hoping and believing that he would return. So that's one, never give up on our lost loved ones. Number two, love them unconditionally. Show them compassion. Wait patiently and stop getting what we used to say in my generation, all uptight about it. And that's how I was. Sometimes if we're not careful, it becomes more about us than it does about them. What does it look like that our household is not believers? Isn't that some kind of reflection on us? Your children are not a believer. Your husband's not a believer. Your family members are not a believer. Seek God daily and pray for the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the things that we can do. Again, I'm preaching to myself. And the reason why I say that is because there was a time when I was just angry with family members that didn't want to accept Jesus Christ. And it's just kind of a subtle thing. It's like you try to tell them, you try to get them to see, you try to understand. And then the more and the more they reject it, the more you feel rejected, and then the more resentment, underlining, because the enemy is always looking to get that foothold in there. And then after a while, you become angry with them. And this is why this is going on in their life. They won't listen. They're blah, 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 blah. That's not how God wants us to be. Again, Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 26, and I don't think, I know I didn't tell Camille about that. Galatians 5, 22 through 26, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I have to pray for the fruits of the Spirit. I don't always feel like being loving. I don't always feel like being kind. I don't always feel like showing goodness. You know, the true, when we're talking about the real you, the real me, it's not there. But Galatians 5:22-26 says this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. If we're operating in that, believe you me, we're not doing anything wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions of their desires, of their sinful nature, to the cross and crucified them. Verse 25, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited, or provoke one another, or jealous of one another. Okay. And then number three, when they do repent, when your unsaved loved ones do repent and ask Jesus into their lives, give God the glory.
Amen.
For the work that he has done. And continue to pray for them, because they will be tried. And then I wanted to share a few verses with you. John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. In the Amplified, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God, the real truth, and the real life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. We can't get there being kind, being good, or being pretty good. We can't get there doing that. Even if we don't murder, if we don't sin, you know, that we think is a bad sin, we can't get there. Whatever we're doing, even our very best, is as filthy rags.
Yes,
yes. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 10 says, God saved you by grace when you believe. That's all we have to do is believe. You can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. But being it's a gift, we have to accept it. It's like I put a gift on the table for you and I say, Pastor Warren, this is for you. Happy Father's Day. But you never come by and pick it up. Okay. So we have to accept the gift of salvation. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us to do. Because as I said, there is nothing good in me.
All right.
I mean, you know, I can be nice sometimes, but then I got that other side. People used to say about me, my girlfriend said, you know, when I first met you, I said, "Woo, she's such a nice person." She said, her co-worker said, yeah, she's nice, but if you make her mad, she'll tell you off. You know, we can present ourselves one way, but if not for the leading of the Holy Spirit, yes. And as Pastor Minister Tyrone was talking about this morning, staying in God's word, because when we look in God's word, that's supposed to be a mirror. Not that we can look at it and see what other people are doing. You're doing this, you're doing that.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking at it and say, ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
That's me. That's me.
I know that's right.
Amen, amen. So more than anything, the Bible makes it clear that God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, he isn't just loving, but he is also the very definition of love. Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love toward us. That means, you know, he's saying, you don't deserve it. I shouldn't give it, but I'm commanding it towards you. That while we were yet sinners, he didn't wait till we got almost right or stopped drinking, stopped smoking or whatever. He commanded his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. We wonder sometimes why it seems like such bad people, they live so long, or, you know, it seems like the good die young, we used to say, and the bad just stay on and on and on. God is not lack concerning his promises.
Yes.
He's giving us all an opportunity to turn and come back to him. Mm-hmm. He is our Heavenly Father, and he's standing there waiting for us with open arms, just as the Father in the parable of the prodigal son. Father in heaven is waiting for us.
Yes.
He's a good, good Father.
Yes, he is.
He's compassionate. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. And he's forgiving. In fact, he forgave you. He forgave that son in the parable even before he asked. That's the heart of God revealed. First and foremost, he's our Abba, Father. He is God the Father who extends his arm in blessings and forgiveness, always waiting, never forcing any of his children. And that's what we try to do. We try to beat them over the head with the Bible and force them. And that just pushes them back even more. We have to pray about that, folks. And we have to relax. Just like you came to the Lord in your time, they will come to the Lord in their time. It's God's time. It's his will for their life. Yes, we're their parents. Yes, we want the best for them. But believe it or not, he loves them way more than we do. Way more than we do. So he comforts them. He consoles them. And he caresses them. God has given me beauty for ashes. That's my ministry. Oil for the joy of mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I used to suffer from depression. I had so many issues growing up. And I would, you know, depression is when you take those issues out on yourself. It's all inward. I'm not good enough. Blah, blah, blah. Why did this have to happen to me? Hey, precious. Right. Put his hands on his hips. but because he loved me, and not just me, the whole world. Yeah. So give him praise and give him glory. And then in closing, I just want to say these few things. In closing, three reasons why you need Jesus. You have a pass. We all do. Because you need a friend that sticks closer than a brother, who's your confidant, counselor, healer, and deliverer. And number three, because he holds your future. It's in his hands. And you're safe, trusting in him, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the always present, everywhere at the same time. That's the God we serve. So, wouldn't anyone like to serve a God like that? Yes. I know I do. Yes. So, saints, that's all I have for you today. I'm not going to hold you long. I want everyone to enjoy their Father's Day. But I do want to give the opportunity for those, I know most of us here probably might be saved, but we always want to give the opportunity for the saved to say yes to the Lord. So I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. So this is for those that are on Facebook, those that are on YouTube, those that are here in the sanctuary. If you hear God knocking on your heart, pray this prayer. You don't have to say it aloud. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come up, but pray this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I believe you died for me and that your blood pays for my sin and provides me with the gift of eternal life. By faith, I receive the gift of eternal life, and I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, I ask and receive your Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless God. Love you all.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Come on, if you know it, sing with me. God is so good. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. Oh, yes, he does. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. He's so good to me. Well, let's sing together. God is so good.
God is so good. Thank you, Evangelist Dolores, for breaking bread with us. Praise God. Break the spiritual bread, and a little later we'll do a little natural bread. But thank you for sharing with us the importance of acknowledging our God, the good, good Father. So again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and we honor you. And I'm glad to see Pastor Doc and Sister Pepper in the house today. Amen, amen. So we want to kind of like just acknowledge the fathers that are here. And we just want to tell you we appreciate you so much. So the committees have been working. There's the hospitality. There's the activity coordinators, and just wanted to just tell you thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Camille, our graphic designer, she does that for a living. She works for a college, and they design curriculum and things like that, but she's very creative, so she has something. I believe everyone that knows Tiffany, and those who haven't, you'll get to meet Tiffany. Tiffany came to 3P's when we were on Milliken years ago, and her daughter went away to college down in Houston. So mama couldn't let daughter be down in Houston by herself, so Tiffany had moved down there. But daughter is still in Houston. She's graduated college, but I guess she just loves Houston so much. But Tiffany said, I'm coming back to California, and she came back to 3P's. And so she blessed 3P's by rapping today. And so I'm going to read this. This is for the dads. It's Kingdom Facts. The serving size is one man of God. Is that okay? Excuse me? What did I say? I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. Kingdom man facts. Okay, so the serving size is, I'm trying to read this, Camille, is the daily percentage, okay, we have right here. Trust the Lord, 100%. Faithfulness, 100%. Love is 200%, and it's divided between family at 100% and community at 100%. Patience, 90%. Self-control, 100 to 150%. Gentleness is 100%. And it's divided between, tone and word choice at 50%, and then timing at 50%.